And turn to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. So today's topic, we're not going to finish. I hope to finish point number one, at least, today. So we'll continue it next week. Maybe even have to go after that. That's probably what I'm looking at. But it's a worthy topic to consider. It's something that we deal with every day, or we should deal with every day, is confessing sin. Because we do sin frequently. Everybody sins. If you don't deal with your sin, then it's going to really hinder your relationship with the Lord. And there's a lot to say. This is not everything there is to say about this topic of confessing sin. Just like when we cover other topics, I'm not giving you everything, but hopefully enough to whet your appetite to look a little bit more into the scriptures. I'll start with a verse, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But he's willing to forgive if we confess. If we don't confess, then there's not that cleansing, there's not that restoration of our fellowship with the Lord. So let's pray and we'll get started. Father, we thank you that we have your word and that it is it's clear, it provides direction for the way we should go. I pray you'd help me to be able to get across some important thoughts today, help my mind to be clear. And I would ask, Lord, that you prepare our hearts to receive something from your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we'll read Psalm 51, most of it, not all of it, but we'll look at most of it here. It says, this is David after he had sinned. He says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me throughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation. And my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise." So, here's David pouring his heart out. It had been several months after he committed this hideous sin with Bathsheba and the cover-up that was involved with it. And it took him quite a while. He was carrying on and is trying to carry on like nothing had happened. We all know that you can't really carry on like nothing happens, because if you're a true believer, you're going to be miserable. There's going to be something off inside. You know there's something. We sing that song, "Nothing Between My Soul and the Savior." He knew there was something there. He tried to put it out, just like many Christians do today. Ignore it. Don't think about it. Don't dwell on it. Get focused on other things. And finally, there was great conviction. God sent a preacher to him, and he was humbled. and he humbled himself, and he admitted what he had done. And so he comes to God with this great heart of pouring out to the Lord, wanting forgiveness, wanting restoration. And it's a good reminder to us that God expects us to confess sin, and we don't always confess in a timely manner. But when we do confess, he promises to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As we heard today in Mr. Brady's segment, here was a man that was told that he had crossed the line, that God wouldn't forgive his sin. But I'm thankful that God will cleanse us from all sin. He's willing to wash all of our sin away. We shouldn't delay confessing our sin. Sometimes we do. It can be at times because we're unaware of those sins, but it also can be because we're not willing to give them up or to deal with them. So I want to see a few things about what the Bible has to say about sin. So hopefully we'll cover number one today. Why should we confess sin? And the short answer of that is simply because of the blessings associated with confession. That's not just the only answer, because God deserves to have us right with him, but also because it does benefit us, because we lose a lot of what God wants to give to us if we don't confess our sin. I want to point out also that David, before I get into a lot of what's going on here in the psalm, and we can't preach through the whole psalm in just a short amount of time, but before I did that, notice with me who David's speaking to. He says in verse 1, "Have mercy upon me, O God." He's talking directly to the Lord. And that's a good reminder to us that when we come to this idea of confessing sin, who do we confess our sins to? We confess them to God. We don't have to go to you don't have to go to the pastor. You don't have to go to a priest in a little confessional booth and confess all your sins to a man. There's no man on earth that has power to forgive and to cleanse your sins. I know the Roman Catholic Church, you know, they teach that you go in there, one of the sacraments, you go and you confess, and you say, "Father, forgive me, for I have sinned." Well, first of all, he's not your father, okay? We're not supposed to call any man father upon earth as far as a spiritual father, except for God. God is our heavenly father. There's no man that has power to forgive sins. 1 Timothy 2 teaches this very clearly that in verse number 5, he says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men," and that is, the Bible says, "the man, Christ Jesus." There's only one person. So when you go to confess your sin, you go straight to Jesus. You say, "Well, David once says he was talking to God." Jesus is God. And that could be a whole lesson in itself. But Jesus is God. We go to Jesus and we come to him with our sins. And if we confess those sins, he, Jesus, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So remember, we go to the right person for sins. And I'll point out a couple. First thing, in our outline, why should we confess our sins? One of the blessings we get is, first of all, forgiveness. Because of forgiveness. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness," is verse 1. "According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." Remember we had a series of lessons about forgiving others. This is actually coming around now for us receiving forgiveness from God. One of the ideas of forgiving others, the whole meaning of the word forgiveness is to send away the offense, to get rid of it, right? And David was saying, "Blot out my transgressions." He want them sent away. He want them gone. He want them purged. That's the idea of forgiveness. But as we see from the scriptures, forgiveness depends upon confession. So if you fail to confess your sins, you're not going to be forgiven. You're not going to have that cleansing. So it's a very important matter. there's so many things in life. I mean, maybe you get mad at somebody and you're holding a grudge and you're just not going to let it go. Well, as long as you hold on to that grudge and you have bitterness and anger in your heart towards someone, this is just for instance here, you have sin that is not confessed. You're not forgiven. You're not walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. You're walking in the flesh. You're not going to have a good life. It's not a matter of just waiting till you calm down enough that then you'll finally, you'll feel better. That sin has to be confessed. And that's just one sin. What about lustful thoughts? You see something and you long for it and you take a long look and you take a lustful look and you go back for it and you look for stuff and you say, well, you know, that's not right. But and you keep going back. You have to confess it and forsake it. You have to confess it. There's no cleansing. No matter what it is, a crossword with in a relationship with husband, wife, or with children, and a bad attitude, it's not going away. It has to be confessed, and there's no forgiveness. It's not going to be blotted out. It's not sent away by ignoring it. It must be confessed. And we sin frequently, which means we need to confess frequently. So, have you ever had have you ever thought you confessed a sin? Well, you say you did, and you still felt terrible. You did something, said something, you had a wrong attitude, whatever, and you confessed it, and it's still lingering. And you feel dirty inside. You just think, why? And let me say this, you're not going to be forgiven because you confess something long enough or deep enough or do enough penance, as the Catholics teach. Punish yourself enough and maybe God will finally forgive you. That's not the idea of forgiveness. Forgiveness involves faith that God's going to do what he said he will do. And what did he say? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So, if we're still struggling with whether or not we're forgiven after we've confessed the sin, it really boils down to a couple of matters. First one is this, that either you didn't have the faith in God's promise that he would actually forgive you, and that's a very good possibility, that you were like, well, I hope he will. And if you don't have that faith that he said it, he'll do it, then you might not have it that way. But then also, it can be because maybe we didn't truly confess the sin. Well, you just said, what if I did confess it? Well, maybe you didn't really confess it. I said, what do you mean? Well, maybe it wasn't a biblical confession. You know, you ever tell, you're dealing with your kids, kids are having a fight with each other, and you tell them you're sorry. Sorry! Was he sorry? Obviously not. He went through the motions of saying what he was supposed to say, but there was nothing in the, it wasn't in his heart. And you can say, well, I know I'm not supposed to do this, but I'm planning to do it again, but I got to keep this thing right with God because, you know, I've been told I'm supposed to. So, God forgive me, and then you're planning to go right back to it. No, that wasn't confession. The word confess means to own, to acknowledge. I own that. I said it. I did it. I own it. That was me. It wasn't someone's fault who provoked me. It was me. But it's real easy, isn't it, to make excuses or to blame others and throw it somewhere else. Yeah, it was wrong, but they stirred me up. Own it. Acknowledge it. Here's another one. Have you ever said this? Lord, if this was wrong, forgive me. Well, either it was wrong or not wrong. What are you confessing if it's not wrong? we need to be convinced of what something's right or wrong. Sometimes you might have to say, Lord, would you please show me if what I'm doing is right or wrong? But it's not a matter of if this was wrong. We need to, because you know, if you're not convinced it's wrong and you've confessed it, but you're not convinced it's wrong, are you likely to do it again? Probably so, because you're not convinced if it's right or wrong anyway. So maybe the prayer should be, Lord, show me, I need to know from Scripture if this thing is right or wrong. But then we get down to something, if something's wrong, we confess it. So sometimes we're not really confessing as we think we are. And it's interesting that it took David several verses of the psalm before he actually felt like he got the matter settled with God. And so, you know, he's saying, have mercy, blot out my transgressions. Then in verse 2, wash me and cleanse me. And then down there in verse 4, he's saying, be clear when thou judgest. In verse 7, purge me. Then he's saying again, wash me. You know, in verse 9, hide thy face from my sins, blot out mine iniquities, create in me a clean heart, verse 10. So he's restore in verse 12. So he's going through this. He's trying to make sure he's dealing thoroughly with it. And it might be, you know, I said earlier, it might be that we've confessed something, but we didn't really confess it. And it's not that you have to say something 100 times. You know, you go do, you know, 10 Hail Marys or whatever before this finally is going to be taken care of. No, it's you deal with it with God until you know and have assurance from Him. Dig deep enough into your own heart to see if you really have changed your attitude about the sin. But once you're forgiven, boy, how things change. How wonderful of a feeling we have, a relief that comes upon us, a renewed spirit, as David speaks about. And we'll get to that later here. But so why should we confess sins? First of all, for forgiveness. Letter B, secondly, on the outline, letter B, for cleansing, verse 2. Wash me throughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. So he's asking for a cleansing. Why? Because we have those nagging feelings, those nagging thoughts in our hearts sometimes. We feel dirty. There's just something off. And you know it. And you want to be clean. You know, from go outside, you're working hard and sweating, you're filthy, you're dirty, it's like, hey, I just got to get this grime off of me. And once you get that shower and you scrub down, you're like, wow, you get out, you feel renewed a little bit. That's the body. What about the soul that's so much more important? Our soul is tainted with that sin, but we get that confessed, and there's a revived spirit. We sing that song, the cleansing wave, 'tis heaven below, to feel the blood applied. I think the author of that song probably knew what he was talking about. Just how good it was to know you're clean and you're forgiven. But when you're truly confessed, then you will be clean. And by the time we get through the psalm, David's attitude has changed. You can see he's more happy, he's more joyful. The third reason we should confess sin is for peace. Now, I'm going to read three verses. We'll look at verse 8, verse 10, and verse 12. And as I do, you try to pick out some positive benefits, the words that would pop out at you that would show and reveal peace. So in verse 8, he says, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Now, I don't know which words you picked out, but I've picked out the words joy in gladness. That would show that someone has some peace. Look in verse number 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. I think that idea of a right spirit, it's right, it's renewed, it's corrected. That to me reveals peace. And then in verse number 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Obviously, again, joy is going to be accompanied with the peace of God. And you might even throw in there, you know, God's free spirit being upheld. So there's a lot of positivity going on here. How much peace do you have today? Is there something nagging at you? Is your conscience disturbed? Is the Holy Spirit tugging at your heart saying, there's something off? You know there's something between me and you. There's something you've been putting off. You're not dealing with. You haven't confessed this. Well, whatever that is, confess it. Why put it off? Why hold on to it? Why not just be clean? Let me ask you another question. How much peace do you have when you failed to obey the Lord and you fail to confess sin? He prompts us to do something, to say something, or after we've done something wrong, he prompts us to go make things right with somebody, and we don't. How much peace is there then? There's no peace. And God wants us to have peace. And if we don't have it, it's because we're holding on to something that's robbing us of our peace. And if you're tired of that dark cloud hanging over your head, then find out what sin it is that's causing that dark cloud and deal with it and confess it. That dark cloud's not there because the Holy Spirit's trying to say, ooh, being a Christian's terrible. That's not, God doesn't work that way. There's sin, and clouds obscure the sunshine. You know, outside, it's kind of dreary right now. It's cloudy, it's overcast, the sun's not shining. There's not that bounce in the step. There's not that joyful spirit sitting in Sunday school. Instead, it's the cloud is hanging over us because the physical sun is being shielded. Well, let us not allow that happen to our souls. That sin is like a cloud hindering God's sunshine in our soul, and we need to confess that, deal with it, and we'll have a much better life. And then the next one, the next reason why we should confess sin is for closeness to God and fellowship with Him. Verse 11, he says, cast me not away from thy presence. You get the idea that he was feeling pretty distant from God. You ever feel that way? Like you're just not close. There's this separation. There's a distance that God's afar off. And he continues that verse, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. He didn't want that communion with the Spirit of God to disappear. Now, it's interesting. He understood what it was like to have the Holy Spirit. Now, that was a different dispensation of time. They didn't have the Holy Spirit indwelling with them permanently as believers like we do today. If a person receives Jesus Christ as their Savior, the Lord sends the Holy Spirit into us. He renews us. He regenerates us. He dwells within us. He lives in us. He guides us. He teaches us. He convicts us. He goes where we go. They didn't have that, but Holy Spirit would come upon people at times. And David was just clearly saying, I don't want to be far away from God. He knew because he was living in sin that he was distant from God, and he wanted that sweet relationship and that sweet fellowship restored. But he knew it required confession. And simply, you know, some people want to have their sin and fellowship with God at the same time, and you can't have both. And people aren't willing to pay the price. And someone might say, well, it's going to cost me too much. What do people think? I'll lose respect, whatever it is. I don't want to deal with my sin. I'm not going to humble myself. I'm not going to make things right with someone else. Sometimes it's not just a matter of confessing our sin to God. And true, our sin, all sin is an offense to God. Look back there with me in verse 4. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be clear, be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. He says, against thee only. It is true. He wasn't trying to say that his sin wasn't against Bathsheba, and but primarily it was against God. So we deal with our sin with God. But there are other passages of Scripture that teach that we have to deal with our sin with other people. James chapter 5, verse 16 is one of those. It says, confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We'd like to focus on the last part of that verse. But the first part of the verse is, confess your faults one to another. Now, that doesn't mean you just go up to, I just don't go up to Bruce today and say, hey, Bruce, did you know I lost my temper with my wife this morning. I didn't, but he doesn't need to know that. What's he going to do about it? Like, oh, thanks. That's not what this passage is teaching. But if I did lose my temper with my wife this morning, you know who I should confess that to? God. But then my wife. And he goes, say, honey, I am sorry. I should not have done that. I was wrong. And you say, oh, guys are looking at me like, man, I can't say that to my wife. You better. She already knows that you're wrong. And if you can't deal with that, then yeah, she's not going to respect you. You say, well, I'll lose respect. No, you'll lose some face. But you might gain her respect and make it easier for her to as the Bible teaches, to reverence you, right? You want all that respect. Well, show some respect. Anyway, so God wants us to own up to our faults when we sin against someone. So yes, we deal with God primarily, but then we also have to sometimes deal with other people. And don't be afraid to make things right with people. Now, again, I'll go back to Bruce. Maybe I had a bad thought about Bruce. I'm thinking, man, that guy is just like, whoa, whatever. I don't like the color of his vehicle, That'd be really stupid to walk up and say, hey, Bruce, I just had to tell you I had a bad thought about you. He doesn't know that. That's to God. Now he's going to see, the next time he sees me, and think, man, this guy doesn't like me. He always thinks bad things about me. So understand the whole idea of confession. Let me get to the next last point, and we'll be done. And that's service. Why should we confess our sins? Well, for forgiveness, cleansing, peace, closeness of God and fellowship, but service. Verses 12 and 13, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. What was David looking forward to once he knew his sins were forgiven? The opportunity to serve once again. He wanted to teach transgressors. I'm sure he tried as a king through his times of backsliding to make good decrees, but it was hard for him to teach transgressors when he knew he was one himself. And so our service will be so much sweeter when we know we're right with God and our sins are confessed. It becomes a drudgery. It's difficult. We go through the motions when we're off and that dark cloud of sin is hanging overhead. Confess the sin and then our joy will be renewed. Then we'll be able to teach transgressors and help other people. And you'll have joy in your service once again. So that finishes up today's lesson as far as first point. Why should we confess sin? Let's pray. Father, thank you.